Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 65, episode 4 of The Daily Zeitgeist, yeah. The podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness using the headlines, box office reports, TV ratings, and what's trending on Googs and social meds. It's Thursday, January 17th, 2019. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Domo Brian Arigato Brian, Mr. Roboto Brian. And I'm thrilled to be joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Miles, Miles, tell them that it's human nature. Miles, Miles, do they do me that gray?
All right, anyway, that is Human Nature from at Total Kent, from Julia Kent. Very clever handle. Yeah, shout out to you. Also, man, remember SWV when they sampled that?
Right here.
I feel like a lot of songs sample
no
that.
Fear.
Oh man. Yeah. SWSWV. Okay, anyway, so I'm old and born in the 80s.
No, I remember them. Okay. I just don't remember that they sampled that song.
Oh, who did your AKA so I can be really happy for them?
Trite Gang.
Trite Gang.
Yeah.
Okay.
Happy for them.
I've heard of this. I've heard of this account.
Yeah.
At show yourself, Trite Gang.
TDZAK.
Yeah, I want to know who this person is.
Yeah, you seemed impressed by my AKA. Just like a long exhale.
Well, yeah, I mean, no, because that was, it sounded like Japanese.
Yeah, well, my accent is on point. I don't think we need to mention that.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, no, I am a native speaker. Well, we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious host of the Yo, Is This Racist podcast. He is Mr. Andrew, here to spill that tea.
I thought we'd contractually agreed to low tea.
Yeah, well, I was going to leave low tea for you because it's so fire.
That's my AKA from Mr. Jack O'Brien, of course. Thank
now,
you.
Now, is that to, like the opposite of high tea, or we're talking about low testosterone?
I think low testosterone, right?
What was that? That like became a buzzword in a pharmaceutical commercial, right?
Yeah, low tea.
Oh. What was it for?
It's always on like sports talk radio.
I think it was fake
pharmaceutical.
It's like in the
it's over the counter. Yeah.
Like nootropic, non-FDA approved.
Hey man, that shit works, man.
It's so dope because it's just like you're like,
okay, just needle American men on their, like, insecurity.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like, guess what? You can rake it in. No right. one will ever complain
right.
that their dick is still soft. Right. Like, it's just...
It's low T, man. It's low T. It's low
Your the, wife will thank us.
It's the perfect
bitch.
Scam. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
You guys.
Good for them.
I'm so much looking forward to this weekend. We got the gang together in advance this Saturday. You can stay up all night in the same room with me, with Miles, with Mr. Andrew T. We are at SF Sketchfest. Go to the SF Sketchfest website under tickets and schedule, or Live Nation or Punchline website. We're doing the Zeitgeist for an entire year, you guys.
Yeah, very specific.
Oh, snap.
Yes.
When the world changed.
We won't tell you what year it is. You have to come to find out.
This includes me, by the way. I'm going to find out about 4 minutes after they say it.
You're going to on stage, yeah. And then you'll be like, I wish you had told me. I could have prepared.
If I may get in my plug, anyone at that show, please stay up 14 more hours and come to the Yo, Is This Racist
show.
Oh, shit.
On Sunday, I think we're at 1:30, something like that. That
no would be 14 sleep hours. Till
next
damn
day.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn,
so yeah,
damn.
Just
Yo, Is This Racist?
If anyone promises to stay up all night, I'll find a way to sneak them into the after party that I'm pretty sure we're not supposed to sneak people into.
You're having an after
party? Shit.
No, the festival is.
Oh,
oh shit. Oh, there's when. Real. When is it? Anna just mouths to me. It's dope. Oh shit.
If anyone well,
too bad,
right.
we're going back to our families right
if
after.
Anyone buys a ticket and stays up all night and comes to our show. I will do my best.
Yeah.
But we will stay out after our show for
yeah.
For
and then we'll go to Zante's for that Indian pizza.
Except for me because I'm way too old.
Yeah.
That's what somebody was like, hey, Twitter, so yeah. are you guys going to hang out after or is Jack like way too old?
Or does Jack have fucking low T?
I've got very low T. All right, Andrew, we're going to talk to you a little bit more in a moment. Mm-hmm. First, we're telling our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. Speaking of low T, the Gillette brand is a low T brand now because they are cucking it up with their new ad campaign about how we're not supposed to wolf whistle at women. Come on, man. We're going to talk about the controversy over that. We're going to talk about...
Controversy?
Yeah, man.
Just a few loud very assholes.
Very controversial.
Yeah,
Gillette
true.
Is fucked because literally hundreds of people are talking about boycotting.
Yeah, well,
so that's amazing that a news story would say hundreds of people are literally talking about boycotting. Like, hundreds? Come on, man. We're going to talk about the dopest new... The Daily Show finally has a spiritual successor. You know, after Jon Stewart left The Daily Show, some people still like it with Trevor Noah, but some people think it's not quite up to snuff. We now have the heir apparent, the best comedic news show, and we're going to talk about that. Listen to a couple clips from that. It's hosted by Mike Huckabee.
Yes.
We're going we're going to talk about the Brexit agreement. Not really. We're just going to tell you that everything's fucked. Trump's numbers are sliding, but... the wall is also becoming more powerful, and we're going to talk about Karen Pence's new teaching job. All of that and more on today's Daily Zeitgeist. But first, Andrew, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Okay. My most recent search history was I guess it would be Wendy Deng. I don't want to give away the third word because it gets into one of my other things that we're going to talk about. So Wendy Deng something. But I was doing a little bit of, you know what, fuck it. I searched Wendy Deng biopic to find out if anyone was working on one.
Okay.
Because I had a moment where I was like, I'm going to write that motherfucker.
Oh, there
okay.
you go.
And then I ran it by my Chinese writer friends, and they were like, for sure, the Murdoch family has spiked that for eternity.
Right.
And also... You can decide if this is like pursue this, and honestly, you're really like looking at the line between career suicide and life suicide.
Oh wow, yeah,
because it's just like right, of course. But Wendy Deng, for anyone who doesn't know, is like a Where's Waldo of the worst people on earth.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah. Always kicking it with the.
It's incredible. I mean, Jared and Ivanka, of course. She's married to Rupert Murdoch. She. Had an affair with Putin?
For real?
People are pretty sure.
And Tony Blair.
Yeah.
That was a big deal that she had an affair with Tony Blair. Like, wow.
It's
I think
fucking
the Iraq War was.
And she like.
And they think she's this Chinese spy.
I hope so. If she's not a Chinese spy,
that's
imagine,
the biggest letdown.
Imagine if she was doing all this insane shit she was doing and she wasn't a Chinese
spy. Yeah, she's like, I was just trying to catch the vibe of all
just
these people.
Fun. It's just my. Anyway, I might still do a fictionalized version of this, but Wendy Deng, probably like the woman who has more leverage over people who have more power over a larger population than anyone who's ever lived ever.
Right. You think she's got that compromise?
On everyone.
Yeah.
Even like on Putin?
On literally everyone. It's wild.
Like, I know you got low T, Vlad.
Yeah. I just like, she's so powerful. And she was just like, you know, born outside of Shanghai during the Cultural Revolution and was like, fuck this. Yeah. I'm going to do the opposite of all of these
Wait,
things.
And so when you said people were telling you, like, career suicide in that, what, like you just be blacklisted for even attempting to
I mean, they're basically like, you can write it, but for sure, no one will ever, 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 ever touch it.
I'm like, right, because of all the other forces at work in showbiz.
Just Fox, yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah, basically.
Plus, a good thing to know is that Andrew's end game for his career is being a Fox News analyst.
That's right, so, yeah, that's the top, yeah. I guess I could write a glowing biopic of Wendy Deng. Right.
So sanitized. Yeah. She's like the it girl.
Well, maybe, I mean, she left Rupert Murdoch, didn't she? So maybe they're like, nah, fuck her.
Yeah. It just feels like that can't be the case. And because it would be mostly, any movie about her would mostly be about that time, I would imagine.
Right.
Or at least have
yeah.
a big part about it. Yeah. So regardless, it's like, you know, you'd have to do it like, Succession style.
Right. Where it's like, not clear, but it is clear.
Yeah. And just make it like inspired.
Or the master.
Inspired. But yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Nah, just call him out by name. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what we want.
Yeah. Dang Daniel. Is that a good title?
Dang
Daniels. Yes. That's a good title for anything.
Back at it again with those powerful oligarchs.
The literary classic, Dang Daniel.
Dang Daniel. Anyway, so I searched for Wendy Deng.
What is something you think is underrated?
Okay. Well, can I do my myth first? Because,
yeah, please.
Wow.
Any order you
well,
like.
Well, they sort of dovetail, which is that the myth that, like, there's a big hunger for biopics is such fucking trash. The real reason so many biopics get made, or I think, from what I understand in this dumb town, is that they are one of, like, the easiest ways to get a script on the blacklist.
Oh, interesting.
Because they, like, and then it just kind of, like, Hollywood, like, it just gets its own momentum.
Right.
Is it just because the creator of the blacklist has, like, a real sweet tooth for biopics?
That, I'm not sure. I think it's just, like, you know, like in sort of classic Hollywood fashion, it's a thing that makes people seem smart liking biopics, but for no
right.
like,
because they're like, I get why this
like,
person's
this
story
history,
needs to be told. Right,
this story is like, it's, you know, the authenticity is. Really
I don't know
important.
If you've heard of this Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, so that's. I mean, like, it's just like, yes, of course, there's some audience for biopics, but
right.
compared to the number that get made,
yeah.
it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's like you have to see what they were like as a child to
yeah,
fully
right.
understand what
but
they're
so
like.
But so many people I know have been told by their reps that are like, oh, yeah, you want to get on the blacklist? Fucking write a biopic.
Right.
Which is why I was researching Wendy
And for
Deng.
people who don't live in this town,
right,
that's,
right.
that's like the most hot unmade scripts list.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
right.
In town.
I think what it is it's a good way to.
Not a blacklist of like, we don't fuck with these people.
Yeah, yeah. Right. It's a good way to get attention, reps, meet producers,
yeah, right.
this kind of shit without really, I'm not saying without working that hard.
Right, right.
You just like read like two biographies, pick out like scenes, put them in some, usually just chronological order. You don't have to worry about structure by and large as much as you would with like a you
right.
know wholly
yeah.
invented thing or a narrative thing. Like so many biopics are just like, here's a bunch of shit that happened. We're going to like, you know, make sort of a through line.
Good enough. And the ending will be, and the rest is history.
Right. Yeah. And it's always about the actor. Like, it, as far as writing
like,
goes, it's just like the good ones are a good acting performance, the bad ones are bad acting performance. That's honestly kind of it.
Right. Like, you have your Malcolm X's and your Steve Jobs starring Ashton Kutcher's, like those sorts of
the perfect
great
ones.
Seminal works. Yeah, yeah. But then, yeah, sometimes it doesn't work as
yeah.
well. What is something you think is underrated?
So my over and under are also linked. God, I'm sorry. I'm doing this my way.
This is like a college thesis from somebody who like really knows how to write, doesn't have to stick to the paragraph format. He's like all over the place.
I got it, teach.
Weaving it together.
Dog. I just put this shit together. Well, so on my way over here, I had two realizations, which is like actually cooking meals is hugely overrated.
But you love to cook.
I do, but I have the meal right before this one. I had a quick lunch, and then many of the meals this week. I think partially it's because, as y'all are probably familiar with this feeling, I'm going to be out of town for a couple days starting tomorrow, so I'm trying to clean out my fridge. But I've just been like fully, I've had multiple meals this week that have been standing up, eating component ingredients
over
the sink.
Yeah.
You're like, oh man, you ever eat like a whole handful of cilantro?
Exactly.
With a bouillon cube?
Yeah. It was really, it was on that level shit. Which gets me to my underrated, which is something I did literally 35 minutes ago. Eating a mozzarella ball like an apple.
Wow.
In fucking credible.
Like the huge, like big ass. Wow.
I didn't eat the whole thing, but.
Because you're not an animal.
Yeah, but I'm going to finish it tonight. But yeah, I was just sitting around. I was like, shit, I have like, full disclosure, I was about 6 minutes late, but I at the time thought I had about 6 minutes before I had to go.
Oh, so you were late because you were biting a big ass mozzarella ball.
Yes.
Did you even season that shit, or you just went fucking
pure as
snow?
I had loose salami and just like a bite of mozzarella held like an apple, eaten like an apple.
Okay. The salami is important.
Couple slices of salami, one more bite of the mozzarella, put it back in a Ziploc, chuck
no
it in
crackers?
The fridge.
Nope. Nope.
Wow. Standing up.
Just salami.
Yeah, dude. He's standing on a diet, up. Man. No carbs.
Standing up. Dog. It was glorious, though. It's so fun to do that. You
and
feel
liberating.
Like a crazy person. Yeah.
Yeah right.
And it's
to eat it that
you, you're both. You have to be both single, and that mozzarella has to be finished probably within... I'm guessing it's got
minutes.
10 more hours before it's like utterly rotten.
Yeah,
but
before it self seasons.
Yeah, but I'm gonna go home and just.
Well, please try and keep your focus throughout the show. I know in my mind, I just see like a fucking thought bubble with that little piece of mozzarella.
Miles' head is just a talking chunk of mozzarella.
With just a little bite, perfect bite mark out of it.
Oh yeah, mozzarella. What's your?
Shit! Damn it!
Anyway, I want the Zeit Gang to give that a shot.
Yeah. Try
just
it.
Have it.
Your
I
friends,
have to give, just
your loved ones
pepper,
will be impressed.
A little cracked pepper, some ball like a vinegar, you know what I mean? Some balsamic.
I'm not against it. I just think I'm not combining two ingredients this week.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what you know what I'm not doing? Putting one thing that's a food with another thing that's a food.
But you could take a bite and then just do the
pepper
into your mouth.
Oh,
yes, from above.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's
you're just
fine.
Like a couple shakes of balsamic.
There you go.
All right, guys. Let's talk about Gillette, because the world went crazy 2 days ago over this new ad where they basically declared themselves woke and that it was time to shut the fuck up with all the toxic masculinity.
Masculinity.
As we now pronounce it. It's a soft C. Right. Because
like
the hard
a, like a Romanian
C is
last
too
name.
Too masculine.
Yeah. I mean, it's real. It's a commercial. I don't think it's the most mind-blowing thing, but I like what the message is. Just sort of like, hey, men, do better. Right? Can we all just?
Yes.
And that's not really the story. I mean, like, yes, we've seen commercials like this. Not like not specifically like this, but you know, commercials around, you know, the progress that we're trying to create in society. But man, it was more the response to this that is just partially saddening, but mostly hilarious to like read what people's feelings are. Like in the Daily Mail, like Pierce Morgan had some shit to say. The Daily Mail was like, oh, you see, this is what happens when more women are in the boardroom.
You guys, by the way, obviously pay more attention to the Daily. What the fuck was his disease? Did anyone figure that out yet?
His rare disease or unusual disease that put him in the hospital? No. Yeah.
I don't know, just being
no
a total
clue.
Cock.
Just doo-doo too hard.
Yeah.
too hard.
Too hard. No, but I mean, like, I think it, just in general, the message was clear, but many creatures from the conservative webosphere came out with their takes. There are a lot of angry tweets, of people being like, oh, wow, like this is one that says this is absolutely shambolic stuff, a cheap and disingenuous attempt to win favor with today's PC culture. Men are not like this, and sexual harassment and bullying have never been part of what masculinity is about. Now, Any bloke worth their salt should boycott Gillette products.
Now, this was from a British ad agency, which seems like why the reason that it's becoming like a big British story.
Oh, is it from a British ad agency?
It is from a British ad agency. Because I was unclear on why that seemed to be the locus of all the controversy.
Right.
But yeah, that seems like maybe that's the reason. But literally, the headline is, "You just alienated about half your customers, colon, hundreds of British men threatened to boycott Gillette."
Yeah, so the hashtag of #GetWokeGoBroke.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, good luck with that. Procter & Gamble, I think, can weather this storm.
Did you see that, like, BBC story about this, like, alleged, like, the alleged right-wing online outrage where it was basically, like, they were quoting clear Twitter eggs. Like,
Oh, really?
Like, you know, they were like, this guy says he's going to boycott, you know, and you know, like quote tweeting him.
Yeah,
or
what's his
like
handle? @11334.
No, yeah, it was like, you know, lads, like 850555, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, yeah, all right. Like, have some fucking standards, the BBC.
Well, and like the imagery, too, is very, it's just like, you know, there are moments of like men catcalling or like boys watching television where a character, like, it's normalizing sexual harassment or, you know, man talking over a woman in a boardroom or whatever. It's like, yeah, okay, we see what's going on here. But the reaction, again, one of my favorite was someone on Reddit who just goes, the first one of these comments on Wonkette, they put together some reactions, and this is one of my favorites. First, this one, he just says, "That's a shitty commercial. Like, what the fuck? A guy was about to go talk to a girl passing by, and his friend said, not cool. Seriously? What the fuck?" Then the reply to that, "Yeah, welcome to 2019. Next stop, 2020, where it's literally illegal to have a dick."
So, now, that first comment about the guy going to talk to a girl passing by and his friend said, "Not cool, seriously, what the fuck?" Like, that does seem to be what happens. Is like the guy isn't like, or like,
sure,
he doesn't
sure.
grab her or anything. It does appear that he's trying to just go talk to her and his friend is like, "Hey, not cool."
Which, well, based on that, I'm gonna say that character has a backstory.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean? Where he already knows. He already knows. His homeboy's not cool. Yeah. No.
In which case, that person should not be free to roam the earth.
Right.
Probably.
That actually, though, is probably true about like a statistically significant number of dudes. So, yeah.
You know. So I would say the Intelligencer, the New York Magazine blog, pointed out, you know, they're like, yes, we agree with their message, but it's not an effective commercial because it doesn't clearly communicate. Like, well, if you just look at people's response, like the Nike ad that was supposedly controversial is 7 likes to 1 dislike in terms of ratio on YouTube, whereas this is 4 dislikes to 1 like on YouTube. And they were just kind of suggesting that maybe it's because it does seem like it's not the most clearly drawn argument. It's like, I don't know. The way that they are addressing it to men, it's sort of like, look, guys, it starts with showing like shitty male behavior, then it shows the Me Too movement, and then it's like all the men rethinking their behavior, and it's like, look, we were sexually harassing and assaulting women, and now it's time to change, which is like, well, that's not necessarily, maybe you were,
right.
But, you know, a lot of people weren't, which are the responses that I've seen. I don't know.
That's it's just I think racism is just easier to get over for some people than misogyny.
Yeah.
You know what
I think
mean?
That's definitely
it's
true
just
too.
Like, yeah, fine, man. I know some cool black dudes or whatever. But you're like, a woman, excuse me, a woman is better than me or the same?
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know.
There's a lot of misogyny too because it's like, it's of the like, how could I be a misogynist? I love fucking women. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like
yeah.
lots of.
Well,
you
that's
know,
what I'm saying,
lots
bro.
Of, lots of misogynists have intimate relationships with women.
Yes, sure.
That doesn't mean they're not misogynists.
Right.
Yes.
And I think that's the harder for people to understand. It's just like,
right. yeah.
there's no, like.
My mom's a woman.
Yeah,
dude.
There's no analogous right. version of, like, the KKK for, you know, which is, like, even that, of course, the ignorant extreme example for racism. It's like, a lot of people are like, you can't be racist unless, you know, you
yeah, right,
burn
right,
crosses
right.
and shit. But even the worst misogynist really can't approach like completely separating from women forever. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, it's just like people don't get that.
Ugh. Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to say though is that like likes and dislikes measure is like the same like statistical massaging that's like the media only has like a 30% approval rating,
right?
Or like you know, everyone hates like House Democrats, and it's like, yeah, but the reasons for hating these people are almost diametrically opposite.
Right.
You know, like if you hate Nancy Pelosi, you could do it from almost anywhere on the political spectrum.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, and it's just it's meaningless
really
to say dislike this.
Well, and
ad.
Also with like YouTube too is like being the party place for toxic masculinity.
Sure.
You put a video up there that's like trying to hold a mirror up to anything like that. Like, fuck this.
Yeah.
Why? Like, what are you saying about YouTube?
Let me get back to commenting cunt on Amy Schumer videos. Like.
Right. All right, guys, let's talk about Mike Huckabee. He has what seems like his answer to The Daily Show 25 years later. It's a weekly show on TBN. What is that?
Trinity Broadcasting Network, baby.
Oh, okay. My bad. And
they were playing fucking TBN at the gym yesterday.
Hell
really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think... It was all right-wing shit. And I was like, what is this? I think it was TBN.
Right.
Oh.
Were they playing Sid Roth's It's Supernatural?
I don't remember. I only noticed because all of the ads were for like...
Low-teeters?
No, it was for like, call in or like buy this Trump commemorative coin.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like
oh,
shit
right.
like that
the
over
challenge
and over.
Coin,
and I was like,
sure.
Wait, what? and then the station ID came up and I was like... What?
TBN? I think I have a TBI. Yeah. So he's got, you know, look, we were always saying we knew the conservatives have been praying to the heavens for a weapon in the culture wars to pwn the libs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, let me just read the description of this show, Mike Huckabee's weekly show. It says, former Republican presidential candidate Mike Huckabee hosts this weekly hour that includes a monologue commenting on issues of the day, a question and answer session with the studio audience, a panel of commentators, and interviews with special guests. Each episode closes with a song by a, quote, house band consisting of members of the Fox News staff.
Woof.
I don't even know what this means.
Yeah,
is depressingly almost exactly the format of the Yo, Is This Racist pilot I did a couple of years ago.
Well, there's nothing necessarily wrong with the format.
Hold on.
Was weird that you closed with a song by a house band consisting of members of the Fox News staff. But...
Oh, they're so good, though.
But we want to just check in a couple times with what Huckabee has to say. As he owns the libs. So let's just check in with one of his takes.
But in just their first 4 days, they managed to set a new land speed record for careening from reasonable impersonation of a rational human being to full-on bat poop loonies. Now,
that's
by
not
this time next Thursday, I half expect them to be climbing to the top of the Capitol Dome while screaming gibberish and waving flaming torches. Here's just a little recap of their version of MAGA, Make America Groan Again. I said, Make America Groan Again.
Oh, boy. Wow. If you actually look at the fucking clip, the video clip, the audience is all like septo and octo and nano pets, genarians.
Yeah, very elderly white audience.
Yeah. And some of the people look like, they even know the shit is bad, though, too. Like, there's also pained laughter who are like, okay, well, this is what it is.
Good God.
This week, he's going to have Alan Dershowitz on.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so that'll be a litty.
The homie.
Oh, great.
Yeah, but again, we have all kinds of other clips from there.
We're going to continuously check in with Huckabee. But yeah, that writing style of his translates as well as we all imagined it would to out loud joke telling.
Bat poop crazy.
Oh, man. I can't believe I didn't get an interview for this writing style. It's fucking shameful. It is lovely to see Republicans or conservatives finally, like, every time they compete in the marketplace of ideas on comedy, it is the fucking best.
Yeah.
I hope the show cost $1 billion to make.
So good. It looks like $1 million, I'll tell you that.
It looks like, yes.
Whatever they spent, every penny of it, up on the screen. Everybody should check it out. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zyke Yang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And super producer Nick Stumpf was actually making a good point that maybe that Gillette thing where the dude's just like, man, don't go up and talk to that girl. Their point is just like, in this Me Too era, dude, you right. gotta be careful.
You can't even say hello to a woman without a cop around right. or something. I don't know. Am I right, fellas?
Yeah.
They're just like every 50-year-old stand-up working today. Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, we'll have some. We'll have some 50-year-old stand-up anything later for you.
All right, guys, let's talk about Brexit. It's at a weird impasse where the populist ideas don't really work. So anytime anyone proposes a version that would work within the government. Nobody wants to do it. It's basically the same deal. It's like right-wing populism that people voted for, but that is in no way...
But they don't really want it.
...possible or like can in no way be done in a modern society like the wall. So, yeah, it's our government's shut down and they're sort of... They don't know what the fuck they're going to do with Brexit.
I do like how right-wing governments across the globe have kind of like... They're like the dog that caught the car.
Yeah.
They're really just right. Like... Like, in this country, I guess probably the most obvious is, like, they're really going to try to push through, like, overturning Roe v. Wade. Like,
mm-hmm.
They need it. They need to talk about it. It's weird that they might actually do it for them.
Right. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. So that's, I don't know, Theresa May, that there was a vote of no confidence yesterday that didn't get enough support, so she's still there.
Surviving.
Yeah. It really is a lot like the dog that caught the car where, like, the dog and the car are just there together being like, huh. Okay. So
now what?
Yeah.
What the fuck
are
we gonna do?
What else?
And then
all the right wing maniacs are like, you eat that fucking car. Right.
Yeah, like, That's right. I
can't digest it.
Yeah. Shut the fuck up.
So on the subject of the wall, while Trump's numbers have continued to slide because of his inability to run a government that stays open, the wall continues to become more popular, it looks like.
Well, what's interesting is he's losing ground with like one of his core demos, which is uncolleged whites. and they say 45% of whites without a college degree approve the job done by Trump. That was compared to 54 who backed him in December. That's a pretty big drop. Of 9 points.
Yeah.
And so that's what's kind of interesting. Well, I think because, too, like, because these are now things that are affecting a very large number of people in many different ways. Because even if you don't work for the government, you think about all the lost revenue that's coming from people who would be spending money if they had their check from the government, other businesses, other, you know, landlords not getting their money. Like, it's not a good situation, obviously. But yeah, like you said, xenophobia, my God, it's way in right now. It's climbing.
So hot right now.
Yeah. Well, amazing. That's the weird thing is despite his support going down, so in another poll, it said 42% of Americans now support the construction of the border wall, a full 8 percentage point jump from previous results on the same question 1 year ago.
So there's a chance that people are, like, the ground he's losing with his base is being lost with people who are mad he hasn't been able to get the wall built.
Well, there's also 39% of Republicans don't want the government shut down over the wall. They don't think that the wall is worth shutting the government down.
Right.
So they still like the wall, but they're like, well, not like
not
this.
Not over the wall.
Not over this not shit. I mean, to continue along with that, there says respondents who said they strongly support the wall's construction, that increased also from 25% to 29%.
Yeah, I feel like we're seeing the real Republican Party come out of the, of course we're xenophobic racists. We hate brown people.
Right.
We just don't like the way Trump talks. Like, that's sort of maybe also solidifying because it's like, oh, he's doing this the wrong way.
Yeah, like, this actually fucks my brand up a little bit. I was able to just sort of, like, operate as, like, a shadow racist.
Yeah.
Right. You don't talk about it, the fact that you're fucking over people of color. You just do it.
You just do it, and then you act like, what they whining about?
Right.
Well, and also, I think they're kind of realizing, like, you know, for like as far as ROI, racism ROI goes, the wall isn't really that good. It's just a symbol.
Right.
If they're going to spend all this money to fuck over brown people, they can do it a lot more effectively so many other ways.
Yeah, like putting money into Mike Huckabee's TBN show.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Do we have another clip
of this
Mike
time,
Huckabee?
This time he had a great stand-up on.
Okay.
Okay? And I mean, this guy, woo! He's finally just talking truth about, you know, millennials. Just, just get in on it. Just take a big old mozzarella bite out of this one.
Grandma and Grandpa's television with a doily on top, a doily. Grandma crocheted a doily, man, a doily. Some of you young millennials, you know, doily, you don't know what a doily is.
Doily.
We love you through Jesus. I love my millennials. I love my millennials. Don't we love our millennials? I've got two millennials, you know, and I love our millennials. But may I just say something very quickly? When you write them a note, be sure to print. But anyhow,
rip shot. Whoa! Drop the fucking bomb. Because we can't read cursive. So print.
Oh God.
I love, though, too, he probably saw some Netflix special, and he saw someone do a bit where they just, there was like word repetition about one word. And he's
right.
Like,
it sounded
hey,
like
Hey, honey,
that.
Can you get in here? Just if I just say this one word over and over, doily, doily.
Yeah.
Millennials, doily.
It's also just like, part of the reason, like, when you're in the audience at a TV show or doing any live thing, they fucking beat you over the head with, like, laugh.
Yeah.
Heart.
Please.
Laugh now.
We'll do another take of you laughing.
Yeah, if not, the show will be over, and they'll be like, okay, guys, we're going to need to just get some more laughs on the mics for this so we can edit this in. All right, now, this one's going to be a real big laugh. Now, this is going to be a 10 out of 10. And then we're going to do that a 6 out of 10 and then a 3 out of 10.
Yeah. They couldn't even get that somehow.
No.
It's incredible. The audience response is just like...
And he was talking about millennials like they were like half black kids. You know what I mean? And he was like, and I love my millennials. I got two at home. Like, I got two
God
miscegenated grandkids.
Right, right.
Like, was what he was about to say. And
holy
I love them through Jesus.
Shit.
But yeah, anyway, we just had to hop.
Got that fire.
Check the pulse of the Huckabee show. I guess let's move on before this turns into the all Huckabee review.
Let's talk about Mother.
Mother.
Karen Pence is back at work. She missed her job teaching, and she is teaching at a school that is so anti-gay, they don't allow LGBT...
Anything.
Anything. No students, no messaging.
And then, like, even parents have to sign this weird, like, I'll never gay agreement kind of thing.
Right.
This is in the Huffington Post, too. They have some of the documents. This is a school called Emmanuel Christian in Virginia. And this is from one of the agreements that parents have to sign. It says, moral misconduct which violates the bona fide occupational qualifications for employees. Oh, this is for employees. But is not limited to such behaviors as the following. Heterosexual activity outside of marriage, e.g. premarital sex, cohabitation, extramarital sex, homosexual or lesbian sexual activity, polygamy, transgender identity, any other violation of the unique roles of male and female sexual harassment, use or viewing of pornographic materials or websites. And then the application goes on to say that the school believes that, quote, marriage unites one man and one woman, and that a wife is commended to submit to her husband as the church submits to Christ.
Yeah.
Yep.
That seems exactly where I thought she would teach.
Then on the job application also has them explain their view of, quote, the creation evolution debate.
Ha.
This would be so easy to get a job here.
Right.
Like, if you were smart enough, like, yeah, dude, I mean.
God
came down and blessed the fucking earth with Adam and Eve.
Right.
And the rest is history.
You know what probably is hard is, like, there's so much, like, in-group jargon with those folks that you'd have to, like, really, you'd have to bone up a little bit. Yeah, you would. You would have to spend some time, like, going to meetings or something, Bible studies.
Oh, man, I went to Lutheran and Catholic school. I know all the buzzwords. I could sing. I could jump in on a hymn with them.
Yeah, I heard you. You said God and Adam and Eve. You know it all.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. No, I mean, where were you there when they crucified my Lord? That's a great track.
That feels like some very Catholic guilt shit.
All the lyrics are like, were you there? Then, like, were you there when they put him in the tomb and put him on the cross?
Yeah. Catholics, like, sort of feel bad about that shit, whereas a lot of the, you know, Southern Baptist religions are just like, we know who did that shit to Jesus.
Ooh,
we all know.
We all know. Wink,
right. It's like,
wink.
If I'd been there,
right,
this crucifixion wouldn't have gone down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch The Passion of the Christ. We all know what went down.
They have, they say at this school, too, in the parent church, it says women are only permitted to teach scripture to children, teenagers, and other women. And they have health classes in fifth grade, which has a, quote, distinctly biblical perspective. And then they also, like, read this book called The Secret Keeper, The Delicate Power of Modesty, for the women in class, the young girls at the school.
Wait, so what is excluded from that list of people women are allowed to, just grown men?
I think so. Yeah.
They can't speak to grown men about the Bible.
No, men have to talk to men, man.
Right.
I guess. I don't know. That's kind of confusing to me, too.
Well,
I'm not
men
sure
can talk
means.
To women if they want, but they can't, the woman can't initiate it and act like she knows something about the Bible that they don't.
Right.
Because
they're like, oh, I'm sorry. What are you going to tell me about the Bible?
Right.
I know every word. Just tell me a page and I'll recite it from memory.
I'm sorry. Is God a woman? No. He's a man.
God
so
is a
don't
woman.
Don't talk to
God
him.
God is a black woman, and we all know that.
Yes.
But
we
in,
do.
In the,
what is she doing there at the school? What is old mother?
She taught there for 12 years when he was in Congress.
Jesus.
So that was her old job, and she's just like, I have to get back. But anyway,
she's
in this
back.
Book, The Secret Keeper, there's a section that says, the source of power is modesty.
Modesty, a source of great power? Yes, modesty is the source of this delicate yet formidable power, making it a power in and of itself. It's delicate because it can be so innocently given away without your even knowing it. It's formidable or difficult to deal with or control because once you've mastered it, no man will be given access to the full secrets behind your allure until you so desire.
Yeah.
And then there's like a weird thing about flapper dresses. Like,
oh,
in there.
For real?
It's like, for the first time, dresses were short and women were showing arm. Was it sexual? You bet. Flappers, quote unquote, were known to drink a lot and treat sex casually.
Right.
Often attending necking parties. There's just like, it's all this wild misinformation in there. And you know what she teaches? You know what she teaches there? Art.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's so the beautiful.
With a focus on the work of George O'Keefe.
Yeah.
No.
So yeah, those kids
they're just flowers. Yeah,
they're getting learnt up.
Oh my god. Who writes anti-flap? That's
anti-flapper propaganda.
Yeah. Also that sentence is like, it would be awesome. It's like circular that because they just keep repeating the same premise and conclusion over and over again. It's amazing.
Silent, being quiet and, you know, modest is a superpower. This is actually in Snow White, like Disney's first Disney princess. That is the main message. She keeps like getting bailed out when she's asleep or passed out and looking pretty. People see her when she looks pretty. But if she's like making decisions or doing anything, showing any agency, she fucks it up and like almost kills herself.
Go back to sleep, witch.
Right.
Snow White is alt right.
I'm just, that's right. It's just fucking sad though. You know what I mean? Like, this is the fucking wife of the, what is it called? The second lady? Is that what's the term for that?
Yeah. Second mommy.
The second mother is at a school that has such fucking backwards, violent rhetoric towards LGBTQ people. And then like, this is just like, kind of like, okay, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Let's not, you know, we're not there yet.
But that's,
we're not there yet. I guess, sadly, we're just not there yet. We're like, this is okay. I mean, but we've always known from the beginning that Mike Pence is just, his whole shit is based on like erasing.
I mean, that's where we're at also. It's just like, this is the like alternative. This is like, oh, once we get that hate monger Trump out of office.
Right.
This is what we got in store for us.
Yeah. Necking parties.
All right. We're going to take another quick break and we'll be back with more Huckabee.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zy Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
oldest girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by oldest girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh,
yeah. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back. And should we just come off the top rope with a little bit more Mike Huckabee?
Yeah, fine. I mean, yeah.
This, I can't get enough of this shit, man.
I love
it's
it so,
good. So
much.
I mean, this next one, let me just set this clip up for you. It was a story about, I think, like a guy who tried to steal a bicycle and was like really stupid about it. I don't know. It was probably from like, you know, one of those like news of the stupid or like dumb criminals websites. Yeah. Where I think a guy was just basically a very inept bicycle thief.
Yeah.
And then this is him just giving him the fucking smoke. Okay, so just put on your protective belts.
I wonder if they can charge him for impersonating a criminal. Or maybe attempted theft without using a brain. Not sure, but he's probably not going to be a big wheel in prison.
Please clap.
All right, we edited it.
Had to get Jeb Bush in there. Please clap.
Oh, my God.
Do we want to break this joke down?
Yes. Yeah. We've been talking about this all morning. So we're trying to figure out what that big wheel in prison joke means. Is it that wheel sounds like deal?
And yeah, he can be a big deal in prison.
And wheel because he stole a bike? Or is being a big wheel like a thing that people used to say?
I just assumed like Huckabee is just like, well, that's not a normal bicycle. You know, one enormous wheel and one tiny wheel, and you just ride on it with your top
penny farthing?
Penny farthing style.
Right. That's how he rides bicycles?
Yeah, got to assume.
I think what he's doing is actually very genius. It works on two levels. He's saying, you're not going to be a big deal in prison.
Right.
And then he's also specifically calling out the big wheel.
Oh, a big wheel.
Like a big wheel. Remember that as
a
kid?
Yeah. And that makes sense that he would say he's not going to be a big wheel in prison.
Yeah, that's called a fucked up joke.
Is that
terrible, stupid joke?
Is that really possible?
I don't even know.
It's like many of his tweets when he's trying to be funny. It like hurts my head, kind of.
Yeah.
I do think I have to assume that he's writing all his own material. That like, there's no way that he has a writing staff.
He has. Doesn't he have that dude that writes his tweets?
Oh, does he?
Is it just him and that guy?
There's a dude that was like on, I mean, maybe he's just a Twitter right-wing bullshitter, but I think he says like, you know, contribute jokes to like at whatever.
There is a dude who I follow who is always claiming that he's Mike Huckabee's writer and is like, brilliant, once again,
another
Mike.
But perfect, I think it's perfect bit.
But I'm pretty sure that dude's joking. But
I mean, it's a little bit like Mad Libs. Like, he kind of has the delivery of a type of stand-up.
Oh, my, no, wait, hold on, you're
from
right.
From the 1960s.
In 2017, someone was bragging about having this joke, being his joke writer.
What's his name?
Chip Hinkleman.
Oh, okay. I think that might be the dude.
Fake?
Yeah, I think he might be joking, Chip Hinkleman.
That sounds like the sound, because it sounds so on brand for a person who would write Mike Huckabee's jokes.
Yeah.
We're at the perfect nexus, though, yeah. Of like, could be real. Like, yeah. It's also like, that's exactly.
Yeah, no, because he does Dennis Miller, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all right. Yeah. Well, right, but right. But I like the idea, though, of Mike Huckabee being so protective with his art, where he's like, I'm sorry, I can only trust me to write these jokes.
Right.
Like, and he's like, people try and like give him notes. Oh, he's like, I said I got it. And then he writes, he's like, gonna be a big wheel. I'm surprised he didn't say something about being in chains.
Right. It's, I mean, that type of humor is like the dumb, stupid news, dumb criminal humor is like inherently very problematic.
He got the gold pedal in robbery.
I mean, that's also like
that is approximately
guys,
the same level.
I'm trying to come up with these shitty puns, and we're crushing it.
You guys should have a segment where it's just like Huckabee's writing room, just punch it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Huckabee's punch up.
Yeah,
I know. Is that a whole new podcast?
I think it might be.
Oh my god! Jesus!
Just listen.
Just
to
take
his
the monologue. We break it down and rewrite
every week. Pitch it. Punch it up.
Yeah, because it is a weekly show, so that can become a new regular feature. I think it needs to be.
I think maybe. Yeah. Well, now I'm just gonna have to start watching TBN every fucking Saturday.
Jesus Christ!
That is
because you could have done so many. You can go in so many ways. You could have done like something about Hillary Clinton being a criminal or something.
Well, I feel like
that
is like, what was that other Fox News one? This like half hour news hour or something like that.
Right.
Is that
right,
the one?
Right.
That one did have a thing where it's like, because. I don't know. Correlation's not causation, but somehow it just happens that every time there's right-wing comedy, it's always the hackiest, boringest bullshit.
Right.
They got into like Whitewater material by act three. Like they were like
they
nominally a topical show and were cold out
right.
in like 18 minutes. It was unbelievable. You're just like, you guys have nothing else?
Right.
The fuck is, how is
and
this
I don't
possible?
Know about you, but this hanging chance.
Yeah.
Oh
it's just like, they haven't had a fresh take. Right wing thought has not had a fresh take since like, 1785?
Yeah.
It's
been a
like
while.
That? Yeah.
It's been a while. I mean, it's tough.
And then after that, it's just all Jennifer Flowers jokes.
I mean, that's like the barrel they're in.
Yeah.
Like,
but anyway. I don't think anything that he said technically counts as a joke, right? Like, it doesn't qualify
joke. Well, it's a pun.
Right. But that's not
if
a joke.
If it even
is
though.
Big wheel.
Big deal.
I just don't.
I know because
I'm gonna be honest,
saying a big deal isn't necessarily something that tracks when you're
like,
talking
is
about someone.
Prison? Like, what does that have to do with anything? I'm going to push back a little bit because I'm not fully convinced that's even what he's getting at.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
or maybe he just thought he'd say big wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's just, I think he was like, you can be a big, like, you know, a big deal. You can be a big, like, something else metaphorically. We'll just call him a big wheel. That's a thing people could say.
Jesus.
I think it's just he's having trouble writing jokes. Anyways.
He's like, yeah, I mean, just this cycle of criminal behavior has to stop.
Miles, it's too good. It's too good, Miles. Yo, you're going to get poached.
But, yeah, I know, right? I just go evil, but I'm like, yo, I'm sorry. The checks are crazy, bro.
Unbelievable.
The Koch brothers gave me my own fucking just white slave. I was like, give me a white slave then. And they did.
Right.
Yeah.
And
it
was Stephen Miller.
I mean, they're Irish, but
there's no way that it would take you more than 15 minutes a day.
Yeah. So. Well, okay. I guess we'll have to watch that.
Get at him, Mike.
I'm going to watch this week's episode, and I'll come back with some.
I think here's my 100% genuine pitch for this, which is like, I think you only have to listen to the monologue.
Yeah.
And I think you could, honestly, like, you guys should backdoor pilot it, but I'm serious. I think you all have a full, like,
terrible show.
Like a podcast, just like a companion.
You know
what
would be funny,
podcast.
Though? You'd probably get a lot of people on the right to listen because they're like, thank God, this is actual funny shit about the left.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
All right, well, coming to a...
Plus, you could horseshoe theory it. You could get the, you know, some Cumtown people getting on it. It's going to be slam dunk.
Slam dunk. Hey, speaking of sports... Fuck yeah. Brought it back around. Uh-huh. Hey. Nick's fingers get worn out in there. So Travis Scott and Big Boi are going to be joining Maroon 5.
Is it still Maroon 5?
It must be, right?
I just wanted to make sure, because every time I read the articles, they never said Maroon 5.
They're saying, yeah. Travis Scott and Big Boi agreed to do the Super Bowl halftime show. I know that Maroon 5 is part of the Super Bowl halftime show, or that was like that.
Oh, I guess it's headlined by them, and then they have, wow, yeah. And then they have the two black artists supporting this group.
Uh-huh. Mm,
interesting. In this league?
That's how it's been for like a decade.
Well, I mean, Beyonce had her shit.
Right.
And then Prince.
Oh, and Prince was
fucking melted the shit down.
No, it used to be like this. That's why I was asking if MTV was producing again. Because the last time MTV produced it was, I think, the Wardrobe Malfunction. And prior to that, it was like always a mashup of like Britney Spears, then Aerosmith, then Justin Timberlake.
Oh,
then like, you know, all these different people would come out. And that was like the...
A true ratings grab.
Right.
Yeah.
But lately it's just been like, you know, Katy Perry's out here just... riding
what's
a
been
giant
getting harder
lion.
It always feels like Brooke Hogan featuring Slim Thug. It just always feels like that, whatever it is.
Right.
Yo, keep Slim Thugger out of this. But yeah, on TMZ, they were saying like that Travis Scott, they were like, you know, that he had actually cleared it up with Colin Kaepernick before, and that Cap had given the blessing, and then Colin Kaepernick was like, I said nothing of the sort.
Yeah. Right.
And in fact, this is disappointing.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, I don't really care about the NFL to begin with, so it wasn't really hard for me to like stop watching it just based on all the shit going down with the kneeling controversy and stuff like that. But it's weird because you see people on Twitter who are like, man, like fucking Travis Scott, can't believe he's been doing the fucking halftime show, yet like their avatar is like a Buffalo Bills fucking logo and things like that. And you're like, it's weird. This has been one of those few controversies that have like people... I'm sure there's a very small group of people who I think are actually willing to follow through on being like, I can't support this. And that's your prerogative to fucking, you know, watch whatever the fuck you want. But it just seems a bit odd when I see people who are like disappointed in like them doing this halftime show, yet still watch the league.
Right.
Like you can't have it both ways.
Hey, I did my part. I clicked like on the Nike ad when it was on YouTube.
That's the most important.
Yeah, that
thing.
Is the most.
And
important.
You would have voted for Obama third round.
This is the same as the statistical. Yeah, this likes versus dislikes thing. It's like people are boycotting the NFL, nominally boycotting because they're not doing more about people kneeling. They're boycotting because of you know, CTE. Mm-hmm. They're boycotting. It's just like. It seems like there's a vested interest, and I know it's just the media. I'm sure someone's done the statistical digging, but like to just say like 83% of Americans disapprove of the NFL, and again, it's for wildly different reasons.
Right.
Then no one ever like publicizes or talks about the breakdown or like puts it in real terms. Like half the people think that's because, you know, black people aren't treated well enough, and half the people think black people are treated too well.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Exactly. It's like you could easily say that, but no one ever does.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, a lot of artists said no. You know, like Rihanna said no, and who else said no?
Jay-Z.
Like a lot of people said
no.
Yeah, but again, I think at the end of the day, like a lot of people are just too, like they're addicted to the NFL in a certain way. Like it's part of their ritual culturally.
Yeah.
That it's, I don't know what it would take for like an actual sizable group of people to be like, I'm literally turning this off and never watching.
I mean, I think it's a little bit generational and we're at the start of it. Cause it's like, it's all these people that are, you know, whatever. Even if realistically it's like, I don't know, let's say super optimistically, maybe 10% fewer people are actually watching the NFL who actually would have before.
Right.
So those people's kids are not watching it. You know, so then that sort of starts to become like compound interest, but still generational. We're talking like,
right?
I don't know.
Eventually, it'll
100 years.
Yeah, and they also talk about generationally, like nobody's going to be allowed to play because of the brain damage. So,
yeah,
like that, just participation's going to inherently be lower.
Yeah,
but yeah, I agree. Like at the beginning of the season, on both sides of the media, it was like nobody's watching the NFL. Like, look at how low the ratings are. And now, quietly, the stories have been like record ratings for the NFL.
Right.
So it's like just people kind of forgot about that story.
I think it's mostly the media was. I think it's a media created thing too, because I functionally don't know many people who have actually stopped watching the NFL.
Yeah.
Right.
Like at least who weren't like me, where like I didn't really watch it anyway. So and not that I'm like going out of my way to not watch the NFL. Yeah. I didn't really even watch to begin with. But
right.
Yeah. No, it's really hard to think of people who've like changed their ingrained behavior.
Yeah, for sure. On any subject. Yeah.
All right, guys, let's talk about ingrained behavior and Netflix.
Oh, man. And their impossible business model.
Yeah, so Netflix is raising their price. I think it's 18%. It's the most that they have ever hiked their prices in the past, like to this point.
Right.
So this is the thing that's confusing to me, because the two things I'm always hearing about Netflix is that they're just doing amazing. Their stock is like going up, 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 and that they are like $30 trillion in debt, like just an insane, like a GDP of a nation in debt.
I think it's like $12 billion.
But that seems like a lot of debt, but maybe I don't understand how money works.
Well, yeah. I mean, the biggest reason, right, that they're hiking the prices is that because like Disney and fucking NBC and all these other studios are starting their own streaming platforms, that means Netflix is no longer going to be like the exclusive carrier of those things.
Right.
So part of it is they realized like apparently the Disney one's going to be really cheap. So I think some of the thinking was they couldn't raise the prices after Disney comes out with a cheaper product. And then they say, oh, well, ours is now more expensive.
Right.
I think they're getting ahead of it now, raising the prices. So when, you know, because a lot of those Marvel shows are going to end up on the Disney one.
Mm-hmm.
And then also when you think about it, shows like their biggest performing shows on Netflix, which are Friends and The Office, are going to eventually be on NBC's streaming platform.
Right.
Like NBC Universal's. So I think they're bracing themselves for like a huge loss of viewership. Or not, I don't necessarily mean people are going to stop using it, mm-hmm. but those things that people are watching a lot of are no longer going to be on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be on these other ones. So they're also counteracting that by spending massively in their original content, because now they're like, well, we got to keep people on here. And the only way we're going to do that isn't just from licensing other content, but making our own.
Like, I feel like, though, they're, I mean, speaking of habituation, like, I feel like they're just, like, banking their free money, because, I mean, I so rarely actually, like, watch Netflix, I realized. I, just as this story came up, I was like, I think I've probably paid $1 per minute for the amount of Netflix I've watched in 2018.
Mm.
Like, I watched so little of it
by time,
because I don't know why. I'm just like, but I, you know, just have the subscription. I genuinely think I may have paid $1 or more per minute of material.
As it breaks down, right?
Yeah, like, seriously. So, but I'm not canceling. I'm clearly too lazy to cancel after this. And this is, it's the same business model that HBO employed forever.
Right.
Which is just like,
like, what, are you going to stop subscribing?
It's about, yeah, they make it just hard enough to unsubscribe, and not enough people do it.
Right.
Like, to counterbalance.
Oh, they're like, yeah, I'm sorry, so, sir, you'd like to end your subscription to HBO? That's great. Okay, so I'm going to give you some coordinates for you to reach our special customer service box.
That
you'll do a handwritten scroll on parchment paper.
But they don't even need to do it. They just need to be like, oh, just mail in the card that says you don't want to do it. And that's a big enough barrier.
And you're like, how?
Right.
With a stamp?
Oh, fuck that. All right, oh, fuck it. I guess we're going to keep HBO.
The other thing about Netflix that probably, like all, it's so weird, the short and long-term like things, like incentives that these companies have, because it's also like Netflix, I would guess, has, you know, except for the fact that their user data is probably kind of corrupted from multiple people using the same account, like, has so much info on everyone.
Right.
Yeah.
I think people are counting on that because, Wall Street is certainly gambling on their business model.
Yeah.
Because it keeps going up.
They're kind of like low-key the Westworld. It's like, you know what else they could do? Just blackmail everyone statistically.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Well, even their Twitter account like hints at that, where they're like, hey, person who's watched The Grinch 80 times in a row, what the fuck's wrong? Who hurt you?
Yeah.
It's like, haha, that's funny. You know way too much about us.
Yeah,
man. It's interesting. And now they're also spending money on an Oscars campaign. They're spending for the movie Roma, which is like a black and white foreign language film.
With
like,
a good shot of winning Best
Picture. Yeah, good shot of winning Best Picture. But they are spending more than anyone has spent on an Oscar campaign since The Social Network. They're spending $25 million.
On the marketing awards campaign.
Yes.
For the movie, $25 million is the tab.
Yes.
What was the production budget of the film?
$15 million.
Sounds good.
Yep.
Great.
And also, how many Academy voters are there?
Right.
Like a couple thousand?
Well, no, yeah. That includes Golden Globes too, I'm sure.
I think it does, yeah.
Because, man, the Netflix Golden Globes, they were handing out fucking milk crack pies. Like, fucking, they were offering me boxes. They're like, hey, do you want to just take this home? I'm like,
what's a milk crack pie?
A milk bar, like the bakery.
They good.
They have a crack really pie, good. Which, you know, the name, whatever. You know,
it's bad.
Do.
It's bad.
But it is definitely highly habit forming. Like okay. Cigarettes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Called cigarette pie. Yeah. Nicotine pie.
I feel like that would be less yeah. popular.
Very delicious. But I mean, like, you go to those parties, and I mean, those things alone cost, you know, millions of dollars, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, millions.
You think millions?
I think, depending, right, if you're going to rent out, like, a huge section of the Beverly yeah. Hilton Hotel, yeah. then build all the infrastructure to tent it to make it look like not the Beverly Hilton.
Yeah.
And then from there, you have all the catering, the cost of the DJs. Like,
I'm going to give you $500,000. I could pull that party off. With yeah, probably. $1 million.
Okay.
That's all.
Well, I'm just saying. For sure. My math could be all wrong. But, yeah. For example, the Amazon one that was yeah. upstairs, they fucking completely, like, they built a new floor. They put all this other shit in. And I think maybe $1 million.
I guess, on the order of $1 million.
Sure. But I think also when I guess you'd consider all the printing that has to be done, all yeah. the extra parties and events that are around every single thing, like in every city probably having
all
events.
I'm sort of implying is they basically just give $10,000 to every Academy member.
Right. There you go. Right,
worth a shit.
Like, yeah. What's the difference?
And those gifts, man, those gifts cost money too. Yeah. But I think that's only the anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
But again,
Miles got to go to some pretty cool parties.
I know.
25 million. Yeah. Well, look,
he's
guys.
Just a normal guy. Like,
look, guys.
All of you's like,
sure. Gang. You want to do the 10-year challenge? 10 years ago, yeah, I was just punching up jokes for Mike Huckabee. You know what I mean? And now look at me. I'm at the Golden Globes. I'm shoulder to shoulder with Anthony Scaramucci.
I mean, these. He was there.
He
right?
was there, and I was like, what the fuck are you doing here,
the
bro?
Mooch.
And shame on the dude who snuck your ass in here.
Oh. Well, I think this is good for both your resumes. You will be punching up jokes for Huckabee. Could be an Andrew, you can be an event planner for Netflix.
Oh, so, perfect.
Yeah.
I'll do any streaming.
Also, quick
service.
Thing on that 10-year challenge thing, because someone at Wired Magazine wrote like a little thing, just flippantly had a tweet about, you know, everyone on social media is doing like the 10-year challenge, like this was me in 2009.
Yeah.
This is me in 2019. Had a much darker view of it and was saying like, what if, you know, because I think it started on Facebook, like what if they were trying to train their algorithm to understand aging?
Yeah.
And you just make it much easier because a lot of people are like, well, the information's out there. It's there anyway. It's there anyway. It's like, but what if you had everyone organize side-by-side photos for it?
Yeah.
And knowing that it was a fixed date range, 10 years.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, you know, play that out.
And it's human selected to be sort of representative of two eras, but it's all about a person clearly identifying themselves as a thing. You know, that there is human information going in there. I this is a slightly off topic, but every time the internet starts going in on a celebrity lookalike thing, every single time that happens, I do a Photoshop of me and whatever app or website it is and Mickey Rooney from Breakfast at Tiffany's. Yep. And every time I post it
viral
on Instagram or Twitter and I say, look at what I just got for celebrity lookalike, shaking my damn head. And every time I feel so guilty because so many people are like, this is fucked up.
I know.
So racist. And I'm just like, guys, I've done this every single time.
Right.
Also, he probably is my celebrity lookalike.
But also shows
so.
You how people would believe that, though, too. Right?
Yeah.
They're like,
I
can see that happening.
Yeah.
That shit happens still.
Mr. Yunioshi.jpg is, I have to download it every single time you white
so
motherfuckers decide you want to do a celebrity lookalike thing.
Oh, because you did that for the twinning one?
I do everything.
But that's when you did it the most
you
recently,
did it for
right?
the art thing, too. The
I did it for the art thing. I've literally
that's in a museum somewhere.
Well, they had film stills, actually.
Really?
I made the effort to go with little, like, white 40% transparency print and write film still on the bottom of the thing.
Oh, wow. Consummate troll.
I have too much production value involved in that. But it is just like, that is the thing that I feel most guilty about because I'm like, I always fool a bunch of very decent, well-meaning people.
Yeah.
And also, though,
people are ready to burn Pop Sugar the fuck down.
Yeah.
Isn't that who was behind that?
Sure is. Anyway, I will never do one of those lookalikes. Also, when they did the Mad Men lookalike thing, I downloaded it and I made a little rice patty hat on my character and slanty eyes.
Jesus
and
Christ.
People also were like, holy shit, outside an option. And I'm like, guys, though corporations are bad and racist,
right.
usually they're not that on the nose.
Well, Andrew, it's been a pleasure having you, man. Thanks. Where can people find you?
Oh, snap. The people of San Francisco. Who are the only people I care about can come see me at the Daily Zeitgeist at 11:30 p.m., whatever date that is. But yeah, the next day people can find me January 20th, 1 p.m., Yo, Is This Racist? We'll be live in San Francisco at the Gateway Theater. So yeah, genuinely stay up all night after Daily Zeitgeist. And if you come to the show, you know what? Just buy a ticket. I'll find a way to sneak you into the after party.
Do it.
Wow. Maybe? I don't fucking know.
Meow.
But also, Yo, Is This Racist? Just listen to the podcast.
It's a great show.
That's it, dogs.
And is there a tweet that you've been enjoying?
Oh, yeah. All right. So a tweet I've been enjoying, it's from this guy called The Hype. THEHYYYYPE. And it's one of the dialogue driven one. Me. Tommy bullied me at school today again. Dad holds up fist. You know what this is for, right? Me. Yeah, I guess. Later. Me. It didn't work. He didn't want a fist bump. I love The Hype in general. He's great at dialogue. Cute. He's real weird. I assume he also. I'm an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fucked up, man.
Could be algorithm.
Yeah, I hope so.
Hey, I have a Gillette ad. Remind me to show it to you. Miles, where can people find you?
Find me. Follow me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. One tweet. I like a few tweets. One is actually from one of the Zeit Gang at Dead Rekka, display name casting creator, just tweeted at us. Dwayne the Swamp Johnson. I thought that was very clever when we were talking about Fox Newsness of The Rock. And then a couple other ones from Reductress. One, it says, how to play bass so well you become a female bass player. And another one from Reductress, Bridget calling just about anything a mood these days. Oh, that's a mood. That's just, oh my God. So many people are like, oh, that's a mood. That's a mood.
All right. And tweet I have been enjoying, Donald Trump's spokesperson for the 2020 campaign, Katrina Pearson, tweeted, going through TSA pre-check at DFW, and a man in front of me started apologizing to agents, five of them, for the shutdown chaos, and said, Congress could end this tomorrow. The agents, nearly in unison, replied, yes, but the Democrats are all on a beach in Puerto Rico. Flames. And Paul F. Tompkins replied, when you made up the story, why didn't you cast yourself as the one who apologized to the agents? It's a great part. You can find me on Twitter, @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com. We post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. We'll also link off to where you can buy our tickets for the upcoming live show. Miles, what song are we riding out on today?
This is from an artist called Micaiah McCraven from Universal Beings. This song is called Black Lion. And, you know, just a good, like, live instrument. People know who have mastered their instruments. There's some xylophone or vibes in there. Good old drumming, which I like. Bass, you know, I'm just naming instruments now. But, look, I like instrumental music, and this one is a little bit of a toe-tapper. So relax to this one, Black Lion.
All right, we are going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you guys then. Bye!
Something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get, but with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.